Welcome, Arizona homeowners. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House. Carmen joins us now. Wants to talk about St. Augustine grass. Good morning, Carmen.
Good morning. I have a question. I have been looking into a couple different types of varieties of grass, and actually I'm not a big fan of reseeding in the winter. I like the texture of St. Augustine grass, and I wondered what you thought of it out here in Arizona.
Oh, I love St. Augustine. It's just, you know, it can be a little tough to grow sometimes here with our high alkalinity and poor drainage. It's, you know, it's a grass that they grow in the southeastern United States and the Caribbean, very sandy, well-drained soils. But you do see, you don't see too many anymore. Back in the old day, in the older parts of Phoenix, Mesa, big flood-irrigated, semi-shaded landscapes and lots, you used to see a lot of St. Augustine. So it will grow here. Key is to get it in, I think, generally before it gets super, super hot. So in maybe March, April, or May, you do have to sod it or plug it. There is no seed for it. And it does really pretty well if you've got a little bit of shade.
And when you say the old days, that was when we were building a lot of irrigation. There was a lot more agricultural in the areas. So there was a lot more soil that went into it. If it's in a new subdivision now, they went straight over the dirt. You may need to dig out and bring in a couple inches of good soil.
Wouldn't hurt.
With.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt to bring in a sod mix, something that's got some maybe a little sand and compost or mulch mixed with the soil. Top dress with that and then, you know, put it in. It'll certainly work here, and it'll certainly take full sun. It just takes a fair amount of water for it to grow. And it's a fun grass if you can have, it's nice and spongy and soft, and you really don't want to overseed it in the wintertime. It goes dormant, but not completely. You still have a little bit of green, but it's a great grass.
When you see something that's everyone's using, there's a reason for it. And as itchy and aggravating as Bermuda is,
well, and the opposite,
it just works.
And the opposite of that, you know, people ask for certain things. I say, well, if that did really, really well here, there'd be a lot of people that'd have it. And you don't see much of it, so there's probably a good reason for that.
Let's see how we can help Frank with a grapefruit question. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Well, I have one beautiful grapefruit tree loaded with beautiful yellow grapefruits. I've been trying to get back to you the last 3 weeks, but I was somehow forget or I'm too late or something. But anyway, my question is, I had heard on the radio in the last couple of 3 months that there was a grapefruit disease going around. I didn't know whether to pick these and give them to my friends to consume.
Let them get sick, huh?
Try this. Tell me how it is.
I can't eat them myself because of the medication I take.
Oh, sure. Okay, gotcha. Well, let's just talk about this disease. This disease is not just a grapefruit disease. It's called citrus greening disease, and we do not have the disease here. We have the little psyllid or the pest that carries or may vector the disease, but we have yet to find any that are carrying it, and we do not have the disease yet here. Okay, so don't worry about it. And even if we did, the fruit is still edible. They make them wash the fruit now before you can distribute it or ship it, so you don't maybe perhaps spread or vector the disease if we had it as a precaution. But we don't have the disease, and even if we did, it doesn't affect it doesn't poison. The fruit is not unedible. It gets to the point where the tree will perhaps quit producing fruit, and the tree will slowly die, but the fruit is not unedible or a problem.
We appreciate the call, and there you go. You're free to share your wealth.
Don't have the disease.
Let's see how we can help Greg with an oleander question. Good morning, sir.
Hey, guys. Jay, with our garbage, you know, retrieval with the city of Phoenix, we've got, in addition to the standard garbage and the composting, we picked up you know, the tan one where you can put in your compostable stuff.
Right.
But their guidelines say don't include oleanders. Also, don't include palm trees scraps, which I didn't know about. But I'm also wondering about then for my home composting bin that I have, how concerned do I need to be about oleanders since I'm putting the compost onto a vegetable garden?
Yeah, probably not a good idea. I wouldn't use oleander in any compost, anything that could get on something edible. It's probably just not a great idea.
And
I mean, it is poisonous. I mean, you know, so, you know, it. There is a chance that, you know, some of that could get incorporated in, mixed in, absorbed. You know, it's just always been.
Why risk it?
Yeah, it's just always been a pretty good rule of thumb not to use. It's one of the few things that we don't recommend doing. And the palm tree thing in the sea things, they're just really hard to grind for their machines to grind up, to process, take a long time to compost. So they're putting these things in compost, but it's just really, really tough to get that stuff to break down.
We did a tour at the City of Phoenix transfer station on I-17 and Dixaleta, and they have a huge part of that transfer station is landscape waste.
Right.
And that's one thing they can't handle either, are palm tree.
Yeah, the
what
fronds,
do you call them? Fronds.
The fronds, right. Yeah.
And it gave me the next $1 million idea for somebody that wanted to. Because they can't do anything with it and it just goes in the landfill, you could start a business building Caribbean-type canopies in the back.
Yalapas.
And every year, you could go back and put new fronds on.
Refrond the yalapas.
Yeah. And it would
I think that's what they're called.
I have no idea.
Anyway.
There's enough people that... come from the tropics or California, and palms are something that they like to bring with them. I just as a use, you could get all the free fronds you wanted.
Palm tree roofing.
That's right.
There you go.
So somebody out there looking for something to do, or the next $1 million idea. I don't know if it's a $1 million idea, but it'll keep you busy. Busy is good. Last quick question here on text. Gentleman wants to know, is 3 feet enough room spacing to plant roses?
Yeah, again, because you're going to prune the roses back hard in the wintertime. 3 feet will work. A little more would be all right. It depends on the variety of roses. Some are a lot smaller than others. So.
Hot dogs and horticulture today at Harper's Nursery at 10 o'clock.
Right on.
Pick up this Saturday edition of the Arizona Republic for Rosie's Home Improvement Column, where we cover the most important topics that every homeowner needs to know.